All right, welcome back. We are resuming the City Council work session for Tuesday, July 14th. We are moving on to item number 2-4, which is the discussion around the waterfront park.
Mayor, I'll kick it off a little bit. So waterfront park opened July 1st, so about 2 weeks now under our belt, and I think everybody in some way or another has seen some early feedback from the public on concerns. We've, from a staff level, experienced some of our own concerns, so I think there are some early items that maybe we need to talk about how to address them, and then other understanding is maybe start to talk about maybe some more temporary or other uses to fill the open, what's going to be grass area once you get irrigation and hydro seeding occurred to grow that area right just south of the water play area. So with that, I guess, council, what should we tackle first?
Councilmember Specton Busher, you brought this forward.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. So I guess the first question, just to better understand the rollout, I'm just kind of curious the communication process of, you know, kind of when we knew it would probably be open on the 1st versus just kind of finding out the night. And this is really just, I'm not trying to criticize, just so we understand for, you know, future communication process, like, you know, I think a lot of us were kind of surprised by the email, or maybe one or two of us were on the email, the Facebook post, you know, the evening before versus maybe having a communication or reminder. You might have told us in the past, but I'm forgetful that way.
Councilor Speck, to start, I'll own that. No great reason other than I'll say I was on vacation and maybe too much vacation mode in that realm, so didn't think to say, hey, awesome news, we're opening it tomorrow. Somewhat in addition to that, and maybe Mr. Riverblood can speak more to it, but I don't know that we necessarily knew that July 1st we were going to meet that target until really the day before. Construction window, as we talked about up front, was a very tight window. Many efforts to mark here and the general contractor and all the subs to get it done on time. So
yeah.
Short answer, I didn't think to say, hey, we made it. But, you know, at the end of the day, I will say we do have a fantastic park, and, you know, the public so far is enjoying the heck out of it.
Mr. Mayor, just to clarify, yeah, we indeed had our foot on the gas all the way right on to the end, and that even included needing a certificate of occupancy so that people could use the restroom. So there was all those things that were coming right down to the wire,
sure.
And we pulled the rabbit out of the hat, but we weren't certain until the night before.
We should celebrate it being done on time. That's
awesome.
The most important part of this.
And on budget.
Excellent.
Two great things.
Feedback, thoughts on that. You know, I think we've all seen, and I don't need to lead this, but I mean, I think we've, you know, I've seen kind of two things for resident feedback wise. One would be, you know, possible destruction of property, like kids swinging from the umbrellas. I didn't see this myself, just heard it secondhand. Things breaking, and, you know, are the cameras in place, and do we feel like we have a good plan in place to handle vandals and things like that? And the second thing I think that would be with that the water area, but we can discuss this first.
To Mark and Bruce, to maybe address some of those early, say, hoodlum activity concerns.
Sure. So we did not anticipate that folks were going to use that muddy pond for swimming. They are. We have signs ready to press go on that clarify what the terms of use, what we should or should not use, or should or should not do at the park. And so we'll put these into production. These will be aluminum signs. They look real nice, like the ones we have here at City Hall. So kind of a kinder, gentler approach, but nonetheless being real clear. And then what I think may make some sense is to make like a brochure that we laminate and have out for at least the near term at our tables, the bistro tables and the picnic tables and in the shelters and so forth, that, you know, welcome people to the facility and ask that they help respect it and also look out after the children in addition to please do this and don't do that. So that's what we'd like to take on as provide a little bit of ownership and being in terms of being responsible, along with signage to make it clear. And of course, we have people that have walked by the signs that are there today that say no pets allowed with their dog. So folks know what should be permitted, like no glass containers, but nonetheless, the signage will help us get there.
Because, I mean, there's the other concern is I don't want to overdo it either, and, you know, not as beautiful because there's a sign every 5 feet, you know. But
I received a lot of emails from, first off, park's great. We love it. Everybody loves it. Just unfortunately, you have to deal with these little side things, but the park's amazing. But we had a lot of people reach out saying, mentioning kids and vandalism and unsavory activity. There's people on the community page saying, what should we do? And they call the cops, report them. What do you guys want to be notified for?
Yeah. Thanks, Mayor.
Yeah. What's that threshold look like?
And all the members of council. I'll start off by saying that we are getting calls out there, but they are minimal.
Okay.
Nothing that we weren't expecting with that number of people in that small of area. It's been all the way as simple as 911 hangups, where someone just dials it in their purse accidentally, to some vandalism where they're swinging from the umbrellas. So we were called out for that. We've had a couple disputes. One because it was alleged someone wouldn't share the hammock, and another where some 6 and 7 year olds were there squirting other people with squirt guns. So those would be ones we would prefer that it was dealt with parents and
yes.
community members, but nonetheless, we still go and mediate, talk to people. There's also been a call of kids jumping off the fishing pier. Overall, our officers are just happy kids are outside, not sitting behind a screen, so they handle it that way.
Mm-hmm.
But there is, when it comes to adults and being unable to resolve conflict, I mean, we would rather get called than have it escalate to something that isn't.
Mm-hmm.
The camera part, the day after consensus at work session for the cameras, we put in the order. They're not up. It takes time. Mr. Riverblood did have the infrastructure set up, so it's basically just waiting for that. So we don't have that yet. Does that answer your question, though? Or
Yeah. I'm even asking, just as somebody who's getting these emails, just to respond with, maybe that appropriate use of emergency services.
Yes.
Because they're, you know, I see some kids and they don't look like they're up to any good, and it's like, that one's obvious for me to answer. Some of them are, yep. The kids are swinging their hammocks and doing 360s and they're falling out of it. Like, I don't know if that's a call for police or that's a, well, kids will be kids kind of thing. But that was one of my questions. So I think you answered it.
We're doing extra patrol also, so we're not because we have to. It's a great location just to get some fun conversation in with
yeah.
the kids and adults. So our officers are swinging through, and obviously if they see things like that, we don't always want to be the bad guys either.
Yeah.
Just like you guys, I mean, so...
Don't use my words against
if
me.
Kids are using squirt guns, you know, we'll probably grab a squirt gun and play with them, you know, so
yeah.
versus telling them not to. But
the real
if they're you know, squirting some ladies reading a book in a hammock, you know, they're going to tell them to knock it off. So,
sure.
Yeah, I know I'm not answering it great, but I think we're happy to go. But if they call for everything,
yeah,
that will get kind of old.
Yeah. Okay. And then my second question is with the signs. This is not my stance. Just curious what the thought is. Could we put like a ordinance or something on that sign? Is there anything that is like an umbrella that would cover that behavior? Because I don't want the police to be associated with being the bad guys either. I just think if you're a mom and your kid's climbing on the rocks and the sign says don't climb on the rocks, you might say whatever. But if it says, like, per statute or per ordinance, maybe they'll, hey, you can get, I don't know.
Let's can I just piggyback on that super quick? With, like, attractive nuisance is my kind of concern with that pond. So is there something that we can put into something to, like, prevent us from being liable for, I mean, we're not really we're attracting kids because there's a waterfall.
Yeah.
And so that's my concern.
Yeah, so actually I spoke with the league about a very similar situation. It was another city that has a giant hill that goes right into a storm pond that is constantly moving, and so it's not, it looks like it's frozen water, but it's not going to be frozen water. And so there was questions about the city's liability for that, and they absolutely recommended that we needed to put up some signage, but that generally speaking, our municipal indemnity, our tort caps and things like that that we already have under the statute would cover us as long as we were taking some level of action to make people aware that this was unsafe or do at your own risk or, you know, those kinds of things. That was the direction from the league on that. This sounds somewhat similar in terms of how the league would treat it. So the long story short is, do we have some liability? Yes, we should put some signage up, but also the league said they would cover us in the event we're sued.
Mayor, Councilmember Bush, just to be clear, the signs will say no swimming allowed, access to waterfall and pond is not permitted. We'll place six around that pond so it'll be super clear. And if we don't get compliance there, then we can look at more information sharing. But we have seen a lot of CSOs, police there, and then our staff is out there each Saturday and Sunday performing maintenance too, so we can help remind folks of the appropriate behavior. We don't want them on the waterfall either. We have really nice underwater lighting there. We don't want that broke up. So it's not an attractive pond to be in. It's really muddy slopes. It wasn't intended for this purpose. So I think the signage will allow them to understand that people aren't permitted in that area.
When will the signs be installed?
I told our sign manufacturer that I would press go on the manufacturing of the signs tomorrow morning, but I don't know how long it'll be, but I told him that this is urgent, so I think we can get them out there fairly soon.
Yeah.
Can we see those again?
So then I'd just say, like, so you kind of summarize then, so the first area of concern we heard was, you know, the safety with rocks and the people swinging and things. So we're going to do, you know, some signs, not obnoxious, but some signs to make it, you know, clear that it's not supported. We're doing, you know, kind of the increased police, you know, and at this point it's been, in the grand scheme of things, it's been a minor infraction. It hasn't been a big enough issue where we feel like we need to make some major change or anything like that, right? I mean, it kind of sounds like. And then, you know, with the pond, I think long-term we'll have discussions about what we're going to do with it, but I think right now we don't think we need, like, a fence or anything. It's not that big of a concern. It's just once we define the signs, we kind of see how it goes from there.
Mayor, Councilmember Speck, I would not want us to move towards fencing, at least until we would determine that it was necessary.
Sure.
It's not attractive. It's expensive.
Yeah.
When we completed our parking ramp about 15 years ago, we encountered kids climbing on areas we were concerned with them falling, and then we proceeded to put in tens of thousands of dollars worth of chain link fencing to protect these areas, and then they clumb on the fence. Clumb is the word? They climbed on the fencing, and then we dissuaded them from doing that, and then there's been no concern since then. So I think it was just the newness and some education and cajoling them not to do
in
that.
In the waterproof electric by the
fence. Chris.
Should we consider an attendant like the warming house like that we have for ice skating rinks? Should we have something like that?
We could. We could hire a seasonal worker like we do as for a rink attendant, and with the expectation that they would perform some maintenance there as well as helping people understand to do the right thing. We haven't budgeted specifically for that, but we sure can look at that for later on in the year or try to go live with it in late spring of 2027. We pay our rink attendants, I think, about $13 an hour. It might be a little bit more than that.
Mayor, if I may just kind of add, you know, that our hope, right, goals and hopes are one thing, but our hope was we wouldn't have to add any staff to that nature. So, you know, the goal is people, like you said, parents would parent and people would listen to signs, et cetera.
So something that we can consider moving forward. Again, relatively inexpensive staffing position, especially if they can help with garbages and things of that nature on site versus having a full-timer come over. I did want to make a note kind of to the pond and the fencing, and I think we'll maybe get into a little bit more, but just the design and the intent behind the pond. You know, from a fencing perspective specifically, we created areas around the pond outside of just the fishing pier where there's rocks just out into the water where you can stand on them and fish from them. So, you know, I guess my fear on the fencing around a pond would take away from that amenity that we deliberately created. And then maybe police and fire can talk more of just like an emergency response. Mark alluded to it. They'll still climb a fence. They might still climb a fence and jump in. But if there is an emergency response, I think that, you know, it would delay it a little bit. And you know, that's obviously another concern on, you know, what's the right level. And, you know, we don't want to necessarily hit the gas pedal and go to the very end and maybe incrementally try it along the way. But
jumping a fence on a hill is never a good idea either, because it's harder to get off the other side. Mm-hmm. So we're going to create a little bowl people can escape from. Shanna?
Yep, you're welcome to the water park. And it comes down to tobacco or wheeled vehicles or medical equipment is permitted. Can you help me understand what? Yeah.
I was just going to say that there's a period after devices.
I can't
and
see that.
Medical effort. Equipment is permitted is its own thought. I was going to suggest maybe putting some space between those two.
Because it looks like to me it's not permitted.
Yeah, I know. If you just read through it, it looks like it's not permitted. Yeah. But
and wheeled devices, so that means our wheelchair people aren't allowed because
right,
they were
exactly.
in wheeled devices. And I'm like, I think this is not okay. But I know what wheeled devices you want, but I'm just saying.
Maybe you can like recreation wheeled devices or something and just take all the medical equipment thing. It's a little
we actually had that in there. We convened the experts to develop the signage. It was really awkward trying to figure out how to recognize if someone's got a bad foot and they're using one of those scooter deals. Mm-hmm. So this is what we come up with. So any help would be appreciated.
I think it would be okay if you just put some space between the wheeled devices and the medical equipment is permitted, because that kind of separates
good,
the thoughts.
Good point.
Or say or recreational
like
wheeled devices, and then remove medical equipment is permitted.
Right. Because in that way you don't mess that up at all.
Yeah.
Wheeled recreational devices. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. What else? We got ponds. We got hammocks. We got kids. What else do we have?
Oh, do we have to? Is there anything around the fishing pier that needs to be discussed? I mean, I heard kids jumping off of it. I mean, sounds like it's a huge success. Again, everyone loves it. Fishing is going great. But
I have witnessed nothing but appropriate behavior there, with exception of it looked like some kids maybe over the weekend were doing a little dumpster diving at the Waterfront Village and then fashioned a pallet as a ladder. They were really creative. And then hung it on the fishing pier so that they have their own personal ladder. Yeah, so we removed that, and it hasn't reappeared. But fishing has been very popular. A lot of grandparents and parents there with their children. So we're really delighted to see that. That's worked out real well.
Do we need signs around the big pond that says no swimming?
I think it'd be both ponds. We would intend to put these around.
Correct.
Okay. Well.
Nope.
Order more.
Not originally, but yeah.
I'm just asking.
I agree. We don't want to overdo it and make it look ugly and crazy. But
I like the idea of putting like alligators maybe present.
No that
swimming.
Would be fun. See, there you go. Now we're thinking.
We're off the rails, folks.
Oh, we're having fun.
It's a work session. It's a little more formal. Right?
Put decoy gators in the.
One of our staff
could be done.
They just
too.
Randomly go up.
Toilets wash into this area. Then they would be like, gross. I don't want to swim in this.
One of our staff had suggested brain-eating amoebas.
Oh,
it's a little bit more plausible than gators, but we moved away from that.
This guy's like, what are they
Kristen,
doing?
You had your hand up.
Oh, I just kind of wanted to, because I don't want to leave Dan hanging because I seconded this, but I wanted to kind of just like give some light to, I guess, my thought of why I seconded this too.
Yeah,
that
is your son still in the ICU?
Yeah, a war wound my son received at the splash pad. But no, I just wanted to say I felt some genuine frustration here, I guess, about not knowing about an opening until an hour before via Facebook and some staff members saying, see you tomorrow at the at the farmer's market, and I was like, you won't be seeing me tomorrow. Sorry, your loss. But I don't know. I didn't know why I was seeing them tomorrow, right? And then I think that that one piece was like, yeah, that's unfortunate, and we can excuse it. But then we also didn't know about the ribbon cutting, and we didn't get a flyer for it until the night before. And I don't want any of that to be like the, like, kudos is the only and the number one thing here. You got it done on time, which is like a miracle. And it's beautiful, and everyone loves it, and we all love it. And yes, my son fell down a rock, but he admitted to me that he wasn't paying attention, so that's fine. It's just that, like, you know, I hopefully the next thing rolls out a little where we like know it ahead of time, and maybe we can see some of these things before we get here, right? Like the signs could have been done before we turned on the plumbing, or, you know, thought about some of these things that like kids would want to be doing. Because now I am also genuinely kind of worried about the fact that there is like a news clip of children swimming in that pond, and now we're going to have to like remedy that like public understanding of what people think is okay and what isn't. But I don't know, can we add a feature of a pool? I don't, something where kids can swim, if that's kind of what people are wanting to do, is there, I don't know.
That was something that we originally started talking about this back 3 years ago at kitchen table, I think. You might remember that, we talked about it. That's what I wanted to bring up. I don't know if it's appropriate for this time or not appropriate, but maybe we need some more time or some time to ruminate about it. I think the market has spoken. Kids apparently love the splash pad, and then older kids say, I want to go into water with my friends. So I know Elm Creek Park and Maple Grove, they have a natural swimming pond, which is sand and lined, and then they do the chlorination and the aeration and stuff like that. Three, four years ago, I wanted, this is all great, it's wonderful, but what part of the original, not original, but part of the plan that I kind of proposed is that there would be some sort of swimming feature. Blaine, what they do is they charge like $30 per parking pass. It's free for the residents for the forever, and then they just go and pick them up at City Hall, and then if you're a non-resident, you pay $30, and then you get to park near the water features. So non-residents can still go for free. They just have to park far away unless they buy a parking pass. That generates, I think, I don't know, I did the math 4 years ago. It was like $1 million a year is what their park system generated from those parking passes. So long-term, I think the market has spoken. I think kids want something like that. I don't know what the cost would be to drain that small pond in the fall, line it, fill it back up. There'd probably be some issues with the spring, the well water coming in, and how do you chlorinate water that's constantly flowing out? But maybe there's some sort of solution there. I think people like it. The kids want someplace to swim. So, and then maybe that would give us the ability to grade it so there's not the drop-offs. But that's for a later time, but I would piggyback off that. Maybe that's something we could look forward in the future, is to continue to improve it a little bit, and maybe how do we even capture some revenue off parking passes. Pay for the attendance, pay for the extras, the improvements over time. So that was going to be my thoughts about this continued discussion. Food for thought. Bring it up later.
I think it's worth definitely discussing to see the feasibility. And maybe there's not a feasibility, because I know it drains from one to the other, then it's used for watering plants, you know. So.
I didn't catch all that, sorry.
So, I mean, I would second the idea. I don't know how feasible it would be, because I understand that, like, the water drains from that into the big pond, and then it's used for, like, irrigation or something. But, I mean, it'd be worth discussing if we do some kind of a swim feature at some point. But
I think there are a lot of kids who are over the age of 10, 12, that are less satisfied with the splash pad and would be more satisfied with the beach. And I think it's great that we have it, so there's no knocks against that. It's just maybe, like I said, the people are speaking through, you know, they're voting with their dollars, is what we say. And sometimes I think their kids are voting with their feet, where they're going. So it might not be a bad idea to explore that. You guys were talking about Bolton and Mink or something.
I was trying to remember who designed that pond and who we could.
They did the initial one, and then I don't know if
Payment Farber did an update to it or revised the design, but
we just added landscape elements. As we would look at this, I think we would look at not just there, but other areas that may be suitable. Sunfish Lake, as an example, has topography that may be conducive for an artificial beach. There's a lot that goes with them. You know, anything is going to be a million or more, and then you have very real staffing issues. So I think we want to look at it holistically and then identify not only the cost and feasibility, but where the best locations may be.
Sunfish makes sense, but I think the core, I mean, people are filling that thing up. And I think keeping people coming to places that support our local businesses might be good, too. So I think geography is important, but also, you know, location is important, too. So I could be convinced otherwise, but I think that'd be a great spot, especially you get little kids splashing and the other kids swimming.
And I was just suggesting, without saying it specifically, that we have some wetland areas in our downtown that are not developable, that are in proximity to the park. So I think we could just kind of zoom out and just see, you know, how something might be synergistic and not and. Yeah, that's. I would like to be open minded and look at all the options.
Sure.
What do you think?
From a fire standpoint. Well, just for example, Fridley had a drowning last night at Moore Lake, so it could happen in 2 feet of water. It could happen in 6 feet of water. It could happen at the splash pad. So, from my standpoint. Any amount of water is going to be enough for us to want to have an advisor, somebody that would be an attendant there. However, the attendant then, I mean, to everyone's point, would have to be trained. And I think people would want some type of medical training as well on top of that. So now you're adding somebody's just a part-time public rink attendant slash EMT. I mean, that's kind of what you're looking for. So, the splash pad, a great, awesome park. The surrounding, we've got a couple of emails now about crosswalks. I think you guys have all been aware of that situation, obviously. We've had people parking in front of fire hydrants, which is totally fine. We just go around the cars if we need it. So, but there are obstacles that are kind of the unseen that we have out there that we still are kind of coming up with, and people as we move along with this venture we're going to come up with, and we're going to have these discussions. So yeah, safety wise I don't think there is much more than what we could do with the signs and start off that that procedure. So
on the attendant side, I'll just point out, if we hire an attendant, then we're also putting a lot on that attendant.
Correct.
You're assuming, I don't know what, I'm just going to pick on an age group, but a 19-year-old guy is going to all of a sudden feel he's responsible for getting kids off rocks and to break up the fight over, like, I don't want to put an attendant in that place. And then with medicals as well, you have an attendant there, you train them for to be an EMR, but then all of a sudden they're talking to kids in the hammock and some kid drowns, and now you know, why wasn't your attendant there? So if they're not going to be equipped to enforce, or they're not going to feel backed up by the city to enforce things, they're not going to do it. And then there's a lot of pressure on them to, you know, be ready as a lifeguard at all times too. So I'm not a huge attendant fan, just because I almost feel like that almost causes more issues than it solves, especially with the police department, the fire department being so close. It's not ideal, but there's a lot of people there, so shouldn't it be the resident's job to pull a kid out of a puddle? But there's probably going to be more residents near that kid than even if we had an attendant, because the chance they're everywhere at all times is pretty low, too. So I don't think there's a problem with the current situation as far as attendants go. That's my 2 cents.
I think the last thing then would be long-term. You have a lot of that, the open space that we have at the community center. You know, I would be in favor of, you know, because we do have some fun still, doing a playground there. I know others' thoughts on that. But yeah, we could do one that matches kind of the motif and look and play area maybe for some of the older, you know, kids. Obviously on the teens, but, you know, just another play area there. So it's some kind of a universal thing. I feel like I've heard the most, you know, for space.
Michael.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. On the attendant, no attendant topic, when I was a kid, parents in the neighborhood parented all the kids in the neighborhood. And I think leaving the residents to monitor each other probably helps build a sense of community. So it's not necessarily all bad to say, you know, watch out for your neighbor.
Sure.
So off that thought, putting up a sign, parent your kids or other kids. Like, is that... No lifeguard on duty. Do we even have something like that? There's no lifeguard on duty. Parent your children or something like that? Well, or watch your people?
You probably don't want to say no lifeguard on duty because wouldn't that make the assumption it's a beach?
No attendant.
Yeah. I think you're seeing say no swimming. I mean, that kind of covers
no,
it.
No swimming, yeah.
Also, everyone should watch that video. It was a cop jumped in with his like full like suit and tie on. Right after, was it after a council meeting or something?
Oh, I was actually doing my will. We were at the convention, at the, what, the community center?
Yeah.
And both of us were doing our wills. And he jumped out and ran in his suit to go save the kid.
Yeah, I saw that
before. Yeah, I mean, it was right spot, right time.
That was where?
Fridley yesterday.
Oh, Fridley, okay. Yeah,
I was doing my will right next to the guy. I didn't know why he ran off, though.
Yeah.
You turned around and went away, and he went into it.
I was just focused on what I was trying to do.
Good for you.
The guy he ran off and tried to save the kid, so.
Sign my will!
Right? Yeah. So.
That's good. Yeah. I guess my last thing, this will really be my last thing. Since we're just talking about it, I would love to see revenue. So once again, you're talking about things. We're not every other city. We're not trying to be every other city. There's lots of places where they have a little kiosk. And in the kiosk, they have bocce ball and, you know, lawn bowling and croquet sets and stuff for rent as well. So if we have a big open grassy space, you know, if we were going to... We did decide on an attendant. Maybe that attendant is doing other things like, you know, renting out equipment that we make money off from, because we already do that with our kayaks and things like that. I just think there's a lot of cities who people come to their parks. They have amenities that they offer for free for residents, or they charge for non-residents. And you can pay for bonuses pretty quick. Not bonuses, but extras pretty quick that way. What do we got here?
Mr. Mayor, to the point of how could that space south of the splash pad be programmed until such time as it may merit a community building, I anticipate in August the Park and Recreation Commission will be looking at options for programming that may be on the lower cost or interim use sort of thing. So one thing that's somewhat popular these days is outdoor fitness equipment, exercise equipment for older folks as well as younger people. Volleyball is something that we're actually doing some programming in the parks this month with the adult leagues in volleyball. And, you know, in the old days, well, we used to have sand courts, but now they're just putting rope out in the lawn and doing volleyball right in the grass. So things like that. We could have a shelter, as an example, could be located that's reservable, would be good kind of companion use to volleyball if you're thinking about that waterfront side kind of feel. And then one thing that came up is that we could, in this scenario or this layout here, you could have a large white sturdy canvas tarp that you could affix to hooks on the shelter and then have regular movie nights. That's somewhat low cost. Where the cost comes in on the movie nights is that it takes four persons to set up those big inflatable screens and to take it down, so you have several hours into just getting the screen set up, or something like the canvas, something that can be lower tech and a little bit more manageable. So the one thing that I think that we want to go into this thinking about is that if we did some improvements, like pickleball, for instance, you're looking, or a playground for that matter, you're looking at $500,000 improvement, and then you've created something that is very, very difficult to take away. So if we're thinking that we want to truly hold this space as a placeholder for future community building or park building, we'd want to think about things that could be relocated or that wouldn't be overly costly or may not be so beloved that we would never be able to relocate them.
All right, are we good on this one?
So thank you, Mark.
Just got to wait until next for the fall or something like that?
We can take it up at any time. The improvements that you see here, that's about $300,000. So the green area was seeded today, and we have irrigation in there now. And so by fall, we should have something that looks like a nice lawn and entirely programmable for the spring. And some of that program space is plenty good, just being flat green lawn for picnicking or throwing the frisbee for the dog or whatever you might do. But we could add some amenities in there too.
All right. Well, thank you again. That's great.
Thank you.
All right. On to our last item. We got through the regular session pretty quick, actually. That was like an hour. That's pretty good.
Yeah, I record it. Yeah. I can shut it off, turn it on, and shut it off, turn it on, and shut it off.
All right. We'll go ahead and start this once everybody's out, but I'll preview it here. This is a discussion regarding annual performance review of city administrator and an individual who is subject to the city council's authority, may be close to the public. Councilmember Peters had to leave, but he said his comments are in the form we filled out, so you can read those.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Yep. Oh, sorry. Thanks. Sorry. Only
because
I'm
sorry.
I have so much redacted. Oh, it's a black line.
Zero is redacted. And I get these back at the end.
You want these back?
I'll start making
photos.
I did it.
Here we go.
I did do it.
You read the statute?
Oh, no. Hold on. No.
Leave this open.
What do we have? Oh, statute. There we go. I don't read this whole thing. Where's the snippet? Is it just pursuant to?
Yeah, pursuant to statute.
Okay, I got it. Pursuant to Statute 13D-05, meeting having data classified as not public, we will be going into a closed session. It is currently 8:59 on July 14th.